Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
The idea of magical cures for companion animal problems often elicits two quite opposite human responses. At one end of the spectrum are people who roll their eyes and mutter about suckers being born every minute. At the other end are those who vigorously nod their heads in agreement when the topic of magical cures comes up. As so often occurs, it turns out that both orientations may be correct, but more often than not, only under certain circumstances. Like all other seemingly magical cures, those involving companion animals require the presence of multiple factors. Consider the matter of behavioral problems. In order to create magical behavioral cures, we need owners who are open to this possibility. Those people also must be willing to do their part to make the magic happen. Their passionate belief in magical cures isn't enough. Which reminds me of one of my dad's favorite jokes that I can adapt to illustrate this point. Every night, a man named Bill prayed fervently to win the lottery. When no megabucks were forthcoming, he changed his approach. His new prayer became, "Dear God, please let me win the lottery. If I do, I promise I'll give some of the money to charity." When that didn't work, Bill prayed even more passionately and added to the list of all the good things he'd do with the money God sent him. This went on for months, until one night while Bill was praying his usual prayer, a powerful storm with horrific thunder and lightning suddenly materialized over his house. Convinced that God was coming to answer his prayer, Bill prayed his prayer to win the lottery and fulfill his good intentions more fervently than ever. Following an especially loud clap of thunder that left Bill cowering in the corner, a celestial sigh knocked down several trees, and a voice louder than the storm roared, "For heaven's sakes, Bill, you could at least buy a ticket." Admittedly, when our dogs and cats have serious problems, it's much easier to sit back and wait for the magic to happen. For some people, that may mean hoping the dog or cat will outgrow the destructive chewing, or that the free-roaming domestic and wildlife that fuels their house pets peeing on their beds will magically disappear. If that doesn't work, some people may opt for magical cures for their animals' behavioral problems that require a minimal assist. Think of this as the lottery ticket approach. These investments may include hiring someone to install an electronic device or solid barrier to prevent the aggressive animal from attacking people, or some gadget or over-the-counter drug or prescription drug that miraculously will solve the animal's problem. A third owner orientation involves actively participating in the magic. If you find yourself thinking, "Where is the magic in that? It's not magical if I need to do something." Wrong. People who actively engage in the treatment of their animals' problems contribute an often overlooked element that possesses magical power: trust. They learn to trust themselves to summon the wherewithal to remain calm when they want to scream at the dog or cat who got into the trash sometime during the hours they were gone. They trust themselves to ignore Opie's attention-seeking behaviors that perpetuate his problem ones instead of communicate his great love for them, which they'd so much prefer to believe. They trust themselves to teach their animals without treats or shocks, and to intervene to prevent their animals from harming others if necessary. The production of magical cures also requires the assistance of the companion animals with problems. For animals with fear-based problems, trust in their owners plays a vital role in the magical process. Without that mutual trust, what happens or doesn't depends on the animal's ability to do the right thing without these people's support. Additionally, reliable magical cures can't happen if people expect their animals to prove that they'll behave before those people will trust them. If people don't trust their animals to do the right thing, then the animal's good behavior doesn't require any support from those people to occur. So rather than those people functioning as reliable, calming presences their animals can trust, their animals function independently. For example, one day Spot behaves in a manner his people consider the right way to greet visitors. Several days later, though, Spot takes a bite out of someone his people consider an equally normal visitor to their home. Spot doesn't do this because he's possessed by demons, or because he wants to deliberately embarrass his people. He does it because he's playing by dog rules, and therefore isn't taking his cues from people he trusts. And he can't do that because no such people live with him. When his people's lack of trust causes Spot to go into protective mode, this may further undermine their trust in each other. Like other owners who don't trust their animals and whose animals don't trust them, Spot's owners become anxious and fearful when Spot displays aggressive behavior. And they devote a lot of time and energy trying to determine why Spot went after Mr. Smith. However, their anxiety and fear decrease their critical thinking skills regarding their dog's behavior. Even though they know Spot lives in a perceptually enhanced world compared to their human one, they automatically analyze his negative behaviors as if he didn't. Instead, they do it within the limits of their own human perception. Consequently, from then on, Spot's people cringe every time they see someone who matches their flawed profile, even though it wasn't Mr. Smith's beard, umbrella, or accent that caused Spot to bite him. What took Spot past his tipping point was the scent of the coyote that lives in the surrounding woods that wafted in on the breeze with Mr. Smith when Spot's owners opened the door. Nonetheless, Spot will detect his owner's anxiety anytime a person with a beard, umbrella, or accent approaches them. This throws him into self and owner protective mode. Then the dog makes the call regarding whether the person who accompanies the stimuli that triggered his owner's anxiety is worth the energy to bite or not. Mutual human-animal trust serves as the fuel that supports magical cures in companion animals with problems. When that trust exists, every step of the process becomes much easier. Without it, We may wander from miracle cure to miracle cure without ever finding one that meets our expectations.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.